Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Been through it all, man. Blood, sweat, and tears. Niggas is dead and shit. The fuck else could happen, yo? I don't think much more, son. I don't know, yo. Yeah, seen it all, we been through it all, yo. That's how I feel right now. Yo, the mother for real, for real.
Queen B, baby.
True.
Lil' Kim.
Yeah, G. Yo, blowing with rusty ass German things, giving the dough as I motherfucking claim the fame. Throwing your wetsuit when it rains and pours and all. Hit them with the fall, don't even know them from a hole in the wall. Get at me, wanna clap me, snitches wanna rap me, put it right where they back be. Keep my guns close to me, enemies even closer. Sending kites with the Motorolas, yo. Give them the cold shoulder with a hollow tip to match. Bad apple out of the bats, obsessed with gas. Ain't since a little dude eating. Full buck 50s. Niggas can kill me, but they coming with me. How about that? Send the queen bee to attack. Only your fly like that can leave him relax. Rock him to sleep. Make him think the drama is dead. Yo, I smile up in your face, though I'm plotting instead.
Yo, it's the real. To make you feel. Jump him in the club. Have you out and out when he bumps this drug to your
eardrum. Yeah, RIP Prodigy, dude. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T. What's good, bruh?
A little down, you know, earlier this afternoon I learned of the death of Prodigy from Mob, one half of Mob Deep.
Uh-huh.
For all you youngsters out here who don't know anything about rap, legendary early mid 90s rap group from New York. That had me a little down, but you know, after I got the news, I remembered that, you know, you celebrate life.
You do.
Celebrate somebody's going homecoming, so you celebrate their life. So it's only appropriate that you played the Mobb Deep.
Yeah, Quiet Storm.
Quiet Storm remix with Lil' Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, obviously, like you said, just a little bit of it is like, man, a lot, you know, what we listen to as kids in our childhood is taken away from us little by little, man. You know, you got Mobb Deep, like you said, this drum was a banger. You know what I mean? It was a banger. And you talk about a lyricist, like a guy who can definitely lay it down and whatnot. And I just remember, you know, back in the day with the Pac and the East Coast, West Coast stuff, Prodigy and all that involved in it. But again, RIP Prodigy, man, another great. We've had a lot of them of late, but another great artist, another New York artist. You know what I mean? He was holding down the East Coast, so. Yeah, but like you said, we'll see the blessing of music is we always have it, so we always have something to remember him by, right? So
absolutely.
So that's the blessing of it. But anyway, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are our topics. We're going to discuss who the Wizards should target in the second round. I know, right? The second round. Thank you, Ernie Grunfeld. We'll talk about that, and you know he'll do what he normally does about Ernie. At 8:20, we'll discuss the rest of the NBA draft, including the Sixers trading up to the first pick. At 8:30, we're talking about Paul George telling the Indiana Pacers that he will not return next season, according to reports. At 8:40, possible beef between Washington Redskins quarterbacks Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy. And at 8:50, boxing news, Andre Ward defeating Sergey Kovalev, eight round TKO, and Mayweather taking on Conor McGregor. Yeah, we're going, yeah, definitely. Doesn't that annoy you too?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily annoy me. I mean, I respect his... We'll talk about it. I respect his business acumen.
All right, but first, the NBA draft, most importantly, the Washington Wizards, our Washington Wizards, from the players who you would think that's going to slip, right? And let's be real about 50, situation.
52, that's a long way to slip.
I know, right? But you know what I mean? But let's be realistic about the situation. Which player in this draft do you hope or is a good fit for the Washington Wizards?
Frank Mason III. That's... You know, or Thornton, the guy from
South Carolina.
From South Carolina, uh-huh. The two guard. He plays. If anyone who's seen him play, his game is very reminiscent of a DeMar DeRozan plays mid-range great. Jumpers, posting up two guards, using the fadeaway. Very a solid defender.
Mm-hmm.
Likes to slash and get to the bucket. So,
no, he's a great defender. I like his game. That's a guy who I like. I mean, you saw what he did on that run, you know, with South Carolina. You saw that how he carried that team. And defensively, he was a two-way player. I think, you know, you don't see that often. And this guy, you know, on both sides of the ball, he did his thing. Like he strapped up. He played defense. He strapped up. He scored when they needed. He was clutch. He was that leader for that team during the tournament run.
Yeah. Only thing I can say is if he's available, Ernie, don't mess this up. I'm not going to say the word that I wanted to say.
I know.
Ernie, don't mess it up. If he's available, don't get cute. Don't try to take a 19 or 18 year old Frenchman that has a crazy vertical that you could stash overseas for 2 years. No, don't do anything cutesy. Just if Thornton is there, select him.
He should, for according, you know, I looked at some of the draft mocks in terms. I'm trying to pull it up too. It's not coming up on my phone. But according to some of the draft, the mock drafts were CBS. I mean, CBS Sports has Thornwell. I think I'm messing his name. I think I'm gonna say it's Thornwell at like the 50, like around the 50th best player. In the draft, which I was surprised me. I think Frank Mason's a good one though. I do think Frank Mason the third is the second or third.
The third.
So, yeah, Frank Mason the third is the best suited because again we're looking at a guy that is the backup. I mean it could be a good backup point guard for John Wall. We talked about in a prior show that he was a guy that had a lot of heart. Like he has heart enough to say, you know what, when he's in the game, he feels like he's probably the best player on the court.
Yeah, CBS Sports has Thornwell ranked number 46, and they have Frank Mason the third, ranked number 52. And surprisingly, Dylan Brooks is ranked number 53, and Melo Trimble is number 54. So these are guys who've proven it on the collegiate level, and they would, to me, they would be able to add to the Wizards bench.
How would somebody, and we always talk, we've talked about Frank Mason the third. We didn't talk about the local kid, Melo Trimble. How would he fit in as a Washington Wizard? Would he be effective as a backup?
I know that you like the guy that I'm going to mention, but Melo Trimble's game reminds me too much of Trey Burke.
I knew you were going to say.
No, it does. His game, when I look at both of them, they're both guys that are able to knock down a jumper off a pick and roll.
Yeah.
They aren't great. They aren't the quickest with the ball. They are very good pull-up shooters. Very good, pretty good mid-range shooters, but neither one of them are a guy that can create for himself and others off of the dribble. And I think the one thing that if you're the Wizards that you need to target, the first thing that you need to target for your bench is a guy who can create his shot and a shot for others from the point guard, from the backup point guard position.
I like Melo Trimble. I think that it's not a lot of pressure on him because he's playing with Bradley. If he come up with that second unit, he's playing with Bradley Beal. He's playing with, you know, let's say it's Otto Porter or whatnot. If that's the situation, if Otto Porter's still there, we have a caller. You're listening to Urban Sports Team. How can I help you?
Hey, what's going on, Wally? What's going on, world? This is Patrick, man.
How you doing, Pat? How you doing, my man?
Yeah, pretty good, man. I'm just listening to the show, man. I always listen to the show, man. So
thank you for the support.
Say what's up.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the support. So, Pat, it's a good question. If the Wizards, you know, the Wizards will be at the number 52nd spot, who would you like the Wizards to draft?
I was kind of listening in with you guys. I like the Mason. Uh-huh. I like the Mason pick, you know, a local guy. I also was looking at Thomas Bryant from Indiana, I don't think would be a bad pick for the Wiz. And if I had to pick with my heart, I'm going to say LJT. You know, why not get a Georgetown guy? Why not get a local guy in there, slasher? So I think with 52, I think you can go a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lot of options out there. It's a lot of different ways you can go. But I think definitely whatever Wizards do, they got to try to improve that bench. If you can get a post guy, get him. If not, try to get a guy that can back up Bill, can back up Porter, get a slasher, get a two guard somewhere around there.
So you mentioned, I mean, you mentioned LJ Peak as a guy that I didn't, don't even think is going to get drafted. I'm a Georgetown fan, obviously, but how do you think his game would translate playing for the Washington Wizards? How would it translate like for the Washington Wizards? Like how would it mix with the Washington Wizards playing with that team?
I think a big thing with LJ, I think with a lot of people may not be talking about as much as I think his willingness to play defense. I think that's something that he's improved on. When he first got to Georgetown his freshman year, definitely sophomore year, I mean, he fouled a lot. He fouled quickly. But last year, I think he paid a lot of attention to playing defense, to being a physical guy, a guy that kind of attacked the other team's best offensive player. So I think that's a strength for him, no matter if he, you know, if the Wizards can get him, no matter if another team gets him, if he goes overseas, whatever. I think defense is going to be a thing that a lot of people. Slashing to the basket, finishing at the rim, I think that's another strength. He's came a long way with his three-point shot and jumper. I think he still needs to work on that. And I think those are things that are going to be positive for him.
Oh, yeah, you're okay. All right. What is that? Excuse me.
Having some technical difficulties. Apologize for that, Pat.
There it goes. It's all gone. I'm like, what was that? All right, Pat. Well, thanks for calling. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. All right.
Appreciate the love and support.
Hey, keep tweeting this, man. We got like background music and whatnot.
All right, no problem, guys. I'm gonna be listening in, man. All right,
appreciate it.
Have you figured out?
No, I'm trying to still work out the situation.
We're gonna do this. We're gonna go
to break. It's a break. Yeah, thank
you. We'll be right back after this.
You listen to Urban Sports Saying. You dig.
Deuces.
Hot damn hole, here we go again. Light as a rock, hard as a this not for blocks, do hard tops in the parking lot.
Alright, let's do this again. You listen to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wild, and my boy Will T. Okay, now I think we're good now.
You figured it out?
I figured it out, man.
Okay.
Like a boss.
I knew you would.
I figured it out, man. There were some situations, but we're good. We're on a rock and popping. Back on this Wizards NBA draft topic. Should the Wizards, you know, Ernie did trade away the first round pick.
For Bojanovic, a guy who's Bogdanovic, I don't give a damn what his name is. Someone who the Wizards shouldn't have given up their first round pick for, and that first round pick has been flipped to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, yeah, my Lakers are back, baby. Yeah, we're in the building, baby, early.
For Brooke Lopez and that first-round pick from the Nets.
Yeah,
with the Lakers sending Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell to the Nets.
Making moves. Dollar bills, buddy. I love it. Magic Johnson making big moves. But I'm not here to talk about the Lakers. We already know what they're about to do. They're about that business right now. But, yeah, should they trade up? They should trade up if they can. I would try to if I could. I mean, I don't know in terms of what they have to offer to trade up. You have, let's say, because I would want them to go after somebody like Bam Bam. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, a defensive big. They need a defensive big who can move.
But then at the end of the day, do you get rid of – okay, you can have – okay, let's say you – Bam Bam is around, like late first-round pick, late first round or early second. So are you getting rid of Gortat?
I'm a fine – yeah, that's the goal.
Okay.
That's the goal. But
myself personally, I would like to see them go after Dwayne Bacon from FSU.
Like you said earlier,
think he's 6'7". I think a 7-foot wingspan, good defender, very good slasher, pretty good jump shooter. I think he could add a certain facet to the Wizards bench that they don't have currently on the bench.
If they trade, they would have to trade up to get there. How far would you?
Well, I don't think. Well, they may have to trade up to get him, yeah. But then again, just going off of the rankings, CBS Sports has him listed as the 43rd overall prospect in the 2017 NBA draft.
And truth be told, and you know, as an individual who's been, you know, who's watched the draft for years, you know, it's going to be international. Some international players being drafted over some of these college guys. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So I mean, so
you can almost rest assured that teams picking at the back of the first round or in the early second round, they're going to draft international players with the intent of stashing them overseas and letting them develop for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. What about a player like, I'm trying to look at the guys I'm thinking in tournament that played well in the tournament.
What about a guy like TJ
Leaf? I like Dorsey.
Leaf?
What about Dorsey? Tyler Dorsey.
Tyler Dorsey?
Yeah, from Oregon.
Yeah.
Played big. He played big down. He played big down the stretch of that team. Athletic.
Kind of quiet over here. I remember him, but I don't remember.
Oh, he's athletic wingman who hit some big threes. I just think that's a guy who played well in the tournament. You know, the tournament tends to me. Well, let's go for another one. The tournament to me, to a certain extent, lets you see guys who can play at a high level with pressure or pressure out there. I like a local kid, Josh Hart. Like, Josh Hart's a guy that I think the Wizards can try to target.
I don't think he'll be drafted. Yeah.
I think he'll be 33. He's a 33 ranked. 30. I think he'll be drafted. I think he'll get drafted before the Wizards get to him.
Well, that's possible.
But I think the Wizards, that's a guy to trade up. I would target him. Hart can play like the one. He'd be a big one, a tall one. You can play him, you know, off the bench. And then when John Wall, you can at times spell Bradley Beal and playing with John Wall. And he's a leader, and we saw that he's a leader.
That's true. I'm not thinking about Josh Hart. I'm thinking about the other guy. Who's the guy who hit the shot?
That's the nephew of this guy who went. I'm having a moment.
That's who I was thinking about. I referenced someone, yeah,
who from Villanova,
who wouldn't get drafted. Yeah,
yeah, he's not getting drafted. Why can't I think of his name? Somebody tweet us, man. I'm trying to think of the kid who hit the winning shot of Villanova. Or you want to call in numbers 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Trying to think of the name, man. It shouldn't be this hard. It really shouldn't. He hit the three. Shouldn't. It's a historic. He's a local kid. Oh, this is killing me.
Jenkins.
There goes Jenkins. You're right. Yeah, Chris Jenkins.
Yeah, Chris Jenkins. Yeah. That's the guy who Chris I was Jenkins, thinking. Yeah, who I got Hart and Jenkins mixed up.
I mean, Jenkins is a good pro player. I mean, he's a good player. He's a guy that he won't get drafted. He'll probably be an undrafted rookie or a D leaguer, and he's gonna have to work as well overseas.
A guy who I'm interested in just because of his personality and how he did step up on the big stage when in those moments is Nigel Hayes. I don't necessarily know if he.
Yeah, Nigel Hayes, yeah, that's a good one.
A pro prospect, but he's a guy with, you know, some heart, attitude, determination, skill set. You know, we in the NBA now, the stretch four is all a rave. He's a guy who's 6'8", who can knock down the three. Who improved his shooting towards the end of his career. So a guy like Nigel Hayes could potentially, you know, as a free agent or a second round pick.
No, I agree. I remember getting a tweet, matter of fact, about the Washington Wizards referring to what could they do in this draft. Someone said, get a new GM.
Everybody's joining the wave, man. Everyone's joining the wave. I'm one of the first people who stepped out there and said it. Came on this show, put it on wax, and let it be known.
And now
he needs to go. Everybody's just riding the wave with me.
All right, it's about time for a break. We'll talk about the rest of the NBA draft. You listen to Urban Sports
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
listening to the NBA on the Urban Sports Scene Show. I always wanted to do that, like the little thing.
It's awesome. Can tell you had that saved up.
I did.
Ready to go. At just this opportunity.
Exactly. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, my boy Will T. All right, man. The draft is, this is it, man. This is like one of the best drafts to me in a while. You got already things already played. I mean, coming to play, the Philadelphia 76ers traded up to the number one spot, giving Boston their number three pick overall and a compensational pick. And they're expected to draft the Sixers are expected to draft Markelle Fultz, the kid out of the DMV, Prince George's County, went to NAMATA, played for Washington last year, the University of Washington last year. Will be the, you know, first player drafted. Your thoughts on that on that deal?
I think both teams win, but I think it's a better deal for the Celtics. Just for the sake that the Celtics get an additional first round pick, and they're also going to probably get the guy that they had very high that was ranked on equal footing with Markelle Fultz. Uh-huh. So I think it's a win-win for both teams. Philadelphia gets a ball handler, a guy who can score and create a shot for himself and others to play alongside Ben Simmons, and the Celtics that continue to stack draft picks. I think this, you know, we're like a year away from the Celtics being a team that's going to make the run towards the NBA championship.
I agree. I agree that I like what the Celtics did, but also I think that for the Sixers, this is a perfect fit. You saw that, like, with the Celtics, Markelle Fultz wouldn't be starting for the Boston Celtics. The way they're constructed now, you got Adrian Bradley, you got Isaiah Thomas, you got Jay Crowder. So where?
I'll take your statement a step further. Yeah. Not only wouldn't Markelle Fultz be starting for this team, but them moving out of the number one spot down to number three lets me know that they don't believe that within the next year or two, Markelle Fultz would be a type of player that's on a level of Isaiah Thomas, because Isaiah Thomas is a free agent at the end of this year. Going to have to max him out. And they don't believe that Markelle Fultz is a guy that could potentially take over the role that Isaiah Thomas has carved out as the heart and soul and the leading scorer of that team.
And also, I do kind of think that Brad Stevens is a loyal coach too. At the same time, I think that plays a part. But I do agree with you. I think for this union, the way they are constructed, I don't think that they believe that he's going to outplay Isaiah Thomas in the next couple of years. But what I do like about this situation for Markelle Fultz is that he's going to a team of young gunners. These guys want a ball. They're hungry. And it's not like he's going to a situation where he has to be a backup player or a situation where he has to defer to anybody like that. He's going to a situation where I always feel like it's good to go to a bad team, because now your game gets to grow and you get to become the player that everybody wants you to be. Think about it. Kevin Durant went to Seattle Supersonics and got the opportunity to jack like 40 shots.
No, I'll give you a recent example. Yeah. And this is a trade that happened. Well, a draft pick, and then it was traded. When Cleveland selected Wiggins, good and then LeBron came back to Cleveland, even though I'm a firm believer that they should have kept Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, me too. Totally agree.
But Andrew Wiggins was traded to Minnesota, and in Minnesota, he's been, well, I'm not going to say he's the top dog because you have Karl Anthony Towns, but he's one of the leaders. If he was in Cleveland, he would definitely have been playing second fiddle, maybe even third fiddle to Kyrie and LeBron James.
Yeah, and you've seen it. We've seen it in other teams, like how when you are drafted by the wrong team, and I'll be honest with you, and the wrong teams could be a good team or a team that has a superstar. When you're a high lottery pick and you're not getting the opportunity to carry a franchise, that can push you back a little bit. We saw with Michael Beasley going to the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade was there, and I always felt like, I tell anybody, that was Dwayne Wade's give back year. He wanted to prove to the league that he was still one of the top guns in the league, but he just came off an injury. And Michael Beasley just came on that team. He had to play second fiddle. That's not good for a player's growth if you want to make them like the superstar. You mentioned Wiggins, which is a great point. People say in Kansas, when Wiggins deferred a lot. But when he went to Minnesota via the trade, that made him into a, you know, made him into a scorer, made it to a point that he had to be dependable. He had to take shots. It forced him to the role he is today, and he's grown from it. And so, to me, Markelle Fultz, he's blessed to be in a situation because, to be honest with you, Embiid is how, as talented he is, you don't know he's going to play all 82 games. Probably will play half. He may play half of 82 games, right? Okafor will probably get traded. You got Ben Simmons coming off the foot injury, so you don't know how that's going to play out. He's probably the most reliable player you're going to have.
You have Dario Saric.
So, but you still, like, he's going to be one of the more reliable players. And plus, he's going to have more clout because he's the first pick overall.
And the most important thing, he'll be able to grow with his teammates, a younger team. Mm-hmm. And that level of expectation isn't that high at this point.
Yeah, you listen to the Urban Sports team, myself, Wally, my boy Will T. So do you – all right, let's go to the Lakers. Looks like the Lakers are going to draft Lonzo Ball now because of the trade. But did you ever believe that the Lakers were never going to draft Lonzo Ball, like they really had doubts?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I just thought it was all posturing for the media.
Yeah.
Just to see what someone would potentially be willing to give up for the number two overall pick. But I thought as soon as when Magic pumped his fist enthusiastically during the NBA, during the draft lottery, I knew that the guy, he was excited because he was going to get the guy he wanted in Lonzo Ball, another, much like himself, a tall point guard uh-huh. with extremely rare court vision.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was funny. You know, you hear reports that he was out of shape, but if you hear why he was out of shape, his dad was didn't have him playing basketball because he didn't want his son to get hurt, which makes a lot of sense. He didn't play 5-on-5 ball at all because his dad was like, no. Like, you can get hurt. We're not going to chance that. But if you've seen this kid play, I'm a firm believer. You've seen this kid play basketball at the highest level at UCLA and even in the tournament. You saw a guy with a high basketball IQ. You know, a lot of people talk about his jump shot. Not that he doesn't have a good shot because he can score and he can shoot the ball. But his form and how it comes from the side and how that may be a challenge in the NBA. But I'm a firm believer that that shot has worked for him for years, and it's a good jump shot because it goes in. But at the same time, that I've seen a lot of ugly jump shots in the NBA, and I hate to talk about where his jump shot looks ugly, and it's going to be hard for him to get it off. Well, he's been doing it for a while. You know what I mean? Like, he's been shooting that way since forever, and he's gotten to this point to be maybe the number two, the second pick overall in the NBA draft, so it can't be that horrible.
No, it can't. If he's comfortable shooting that way, he's been doing it for, 19 years, allow him to keep shooting that way unless it becomes evident that he can't get his jump shot off at the NBA level. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are his detractors will say, well, De'Aaron Fox tore him a new one during the Sweet 16. You know, De'Aaron Fox kept consistently going at him, and then Lonzo Ball didn't have a way to counter that. To me, I say it's a 5-on-5 game.
Yeah, he wasn't the only. It's a lot that goes on in a game. It's not just a 1-on-1 matchup. I know he's a point guard, he's a point guard, and Fox is a point guard. But at the same time, that doesn't mean anything in terms of basketball. I think people get too much into the 1-on-1 battles and not the team element of everything. But
let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Number 3 overall pick. It looks as if the Boston Celtics will select Josh Jackson.
Oh,
he's
like
a great player, dynamic player. You had Jaylen Brown. You drafted Jaylen Brown last year at the number 3 pick. Do you think – I was having this conversation earlier. Do you think it's far-fetched that maybe Boston is trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes and really likes a guy like Jason Tatum?
That's a good one because it's a good fit. Fit's good.
Yeah, I think the fit's good. Jason Tatum is a guy who can score for himself
the dribble
and from 3-point range.
He can play in the post.
Can play in the post. Pretty high basketball IQ. So I don't think, even though I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Celtics are going to take Josh Jackson with number 3 overall pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they take Jason Tatum.
I mean, I wouldn't, but I think they probably will take Josh Jackson. I think Josh Jackson it's crazy because I saw Josh Jackson play. When I saw him play, it was a game against Michigan State. And my brother was like, that's his best game. And I was like, you know what, you're probably right. But in that game, I saw what he can do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he hit the step. He was hitting step back threes off the dribble, finishing, going to the basket. He looked, and not to say that he's going to be in the NBA, because I'm not going to say that. He looked KD-like in that one game. In that one game, like, he looked KD-like. So, if I'm a scout for an NBA team, and I'm looking because I'm going off potential, because that's what the draft's all about, right? It's potential, right? And I watched that game. I'm like, you know what? This kid can lead my franchise. And the way I look at it is, like, down the road, if I have him and Jaylen Brown, because I can have Jaylen Brown play the two, I'm cool with that. And have Josh Jackson play the three, I'm good with that. I look at a team that, you know what, when LeBron's reign is over, or even when they get mature enough, we can, down the road, we can compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers or any other team.
Well, LeBron's reign will be over next year because he's leaving Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. He's leaving Cleveland. So, all right. So, in this draft, in terms of player team, what's the best fit player team?
I would go. Well, this is very biased.
It's okay. Be biased, bro.
Because I am a Knicks fan. Supporter.
You know, we're all fans of a team.
Dennis Smith Jr. to the Knicks.
I love Dennis Smith Jr.
His game, he's relentless from both ends of the court, offense and defense, like Russell Westbrook. But his game, his athleticism, he has the athleticism like Westbrook, but he's an explosive jumper like Steve Francis was. So to me, when I see his game, I see a lot of the relentlessness of a Russell Westbrook, but the athletic ability of a Steve Francis. And I'm just...
You hoping you get him?
I'm hoping, but I know it's not going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No, Phil Jackson is going to F that up.
The mixture I have, what's dude's name? I'm sorry. Monk. I like Monk in New Orleans. I love that.
His outside shooting would definitely help to enhance that offense with Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. I'll give you another one. De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. That's a team that De'Aaron Fox has a very competitive streak. He's a guy who led at Kentucky. Sacramento is a team, you know, they traded for Buddy Hield, giving up Boogie Cousins for almost nothing. De'Aaron Fox looks like he's a guy who can lead and can come in there and give them a point guard that can develop into one of the, I don't know, top 10 point guards in the league.
Yeah, I like, those are some of the ones that I like. I like Monk in terms of, you got two post players. Monk finally gets some shooting. And a guy we saw fill it up. It was clutch in the tournament. Guy who is clutch and who can do some special things shooting the basketball. So that's my fit. I think that's the best matchup. Like, in terms of the mesh. The mesh is right for that one. All right, well, it's time for another commercial break. It's time for another break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about Paul George. He doesn't want to be in Indiana anymore. Will he be a Laker?
I know that's making you smile.
I know. Or will he be a Cav? We'll talk about that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
Get it.
Deuces.
Royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks, they Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Heritage inside your DNA. Background don't exist. Burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like Vince would probably offend you. This is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah.
Yeah, so just DNA. Born inside the beast, my expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale hotel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna plead this case. The reason my power was here. Salute the truth and the prophecy.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
Yeah, that's that DNA. Paul George got that good DNA. This is the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, my boy Will T. The word is Paul George will leave the Pacers after the 2018 season. Where should Paul George go?
Well, he says he's come out specifically and said that he wants to come to La La Land. He wants to be a Laker.
Who doesn't? If I wish I could have the song "I Love LA," but
please,
I love LA.
Well, no, I mean it's a great place. It's a franchise that's trending upward. You have Magic. You have Rob Blinkovich. You also have Luke Walton coaching.
You got legal weed.
I don't think you. Well, the NBA's policy is a very is more very lean. Strict.
Yeah, more lean. It's yeah, lean. Yeah, because you have in the locker rooms.
Yeah, it's very lenient when it comes to marijuana. Yeah. But no, things are starting to look up over the, on the horizon for the Lakers. You know, I still don't believe that Paul George himself does a huge difference for to turn the fortunes of a franchise. I think he's a piece that you build upon. Not saying that he isn't a star player, yeah. But Paul George to me hasn't taken a team. You know, he's taken a team to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row, but that's a team that also had Lance Stephenson playing career best basketball, also had Roy Hibbert, and also had David West.
Yeah.
Had George Hill. So he's a good player, a star player. I'm not saying he's a superstar player that's going to change the fortunes of the franchise, but it definitely does make the Lakers a far more attractive destination if you are able to get Paul George.
I just think Paul George is a borderline superstar player. I agree with Will. He hasn't proven it yet, but he's a borderline superstar. I just feel like, you know, you can tell he's a talented dude, that a guy that can tear his knee up like that and still be able to play basketball at the highest level he's doing right now. One of the better two-way basketball players we have in this NBA, second to Kawhi Leonard. I just think that any team that gets a Paul George, is going to be better to a certain extent if you're coached correctly. I think that's very important. If you're coached correctly, he goes to LA. I'm not going to say Luke Walton's a great coach, because Luke Walton was coaching well with the Golden State Warriors, and as we saw, anybody can coach at Golden State to a certain.
I can't say
anybody, but you can coach. I'm not going to say win a championship, but you can look good, right? Can we
say
that?
Yeah, we'll agree. I agree on that.
You can look good. So I think him coming to LA, one, if you have the right pieces with him, like, okay, if Brandon Ingram becomes a better basketball player, you know, puts on a little more weight and is more confident as a basketball player. If Ball plays at the same level, not to say that he's going to be an all-star off the bat, but plays with the same IQ level he did at UCLA, they should be a decent team. And we know that Brook Lopez is a 2010 guy anyway, regardless of the fact. And then that's prorated even more that you in the same year in 2018, if they do get a Paul George, the way this team, because of the trade, and Will mentioned earlier, because of the trade, they don't just have to sign one. They can go for two in the same year. So that means LeBron
you would have to renounce the rights of Brook Lopez to get up under the cap, to get $60 million under, then you'll be $60 million under the cap. Then you would have the ability to potentially sign LeBron and Paul George, if all the reports are accurate that LeBron is already have one foot out the door looking for his next destination.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers fired GM David Griffin, or they let go.
Let me tell you, LeBron is the king of passive aggressive.
What you mean?
No, his tweet. Did you hear about his tweet after David Griffin was let go?
Yeah, because he was mad that David Griffin got let go.
Yeah, he said, we know what you did.
Yeah,
I'm sure all the fans know. I know the players know. We appreciated you. So who else are you talking about? You're talking about the owner.
Yeah, yeah. You know what
he's the king of passive aggressive.
What is that? Did that statement bother you? I thought it was cool. I thought you looked out. He looked out for his owner.
I know.
I mean, owner, general manager.
Yeah, I appreciate him putting it out there in the public that he loved David Griffin.
Yeah.
And he was a David Griffin supporter. It's just a consistent passive aggressive things. Just consistently, I know that you and the owner probably don't see eye to eye and don't have that great of a relationship. You went back to Cleveland for reasons of your own to build, you know, provide inspiration and something for Cleveland.
A role model or whatnot. Yeah.
But, you know, stop with the passive aggression. Well, I'm not going to say stop. That's who he is. You know, continue. If that's what you do, it just doesn't come off well.
On Facebook, my man, Dewani said, in terms of Paul George, where he should go, he said the Cavs. He said get rid of Love and the rest of the bench and get rid of J.R. Smith.
Well, J.R. Smith has $14 million a year contract?
Yeah. Dude.
Who's taking that?
No, I don't think anybody's taking that.
I don't think no one's going to take that.
I don't think so either.
Someone may take that Tristan Thompson contract because of what Tristan Thompson brings.
Yeah,
great offensive rebounder, defender. A very good defender, and also just an overall good rebounder in general.
Yeah.
So someone may take a Tristan Thompson's contract.
Yeah. And if you really want Paul George that bad, you may but you got to keep one though, right?
I think you have to keep Thompson.
You got to keep
If you had to if I had to choose, I would definitely keep Tristan Thompson over Kevin Love.
Yeah, cuz you have enough scoring and then you have a good defender in Paul George anyway. So, well, okay, the Wizards, you know, do you believe the Wizards have a real opportunity to get Paul George?
I'm saying it anyway. Hell no.
You can say hell no. Hell no.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I think it's hilarious that's being played like the Wizards are now in the race. Like, what collateral do you have?
What do you have? Like, listen, unless you're giving up John Wall or Bradley Beal, you have no other assets. Yeah. Otto Porter is not signed. He's a restricted free agent.
And even if you want to do a sign and trade, it's not even beneficial to the player anymore. It used to be beneficial to the player. You're not getting like more money to sign with the Wizards.
Yeah, he's not because he didn't make the All NBA team.
Exactly. So what's the sign and trade?
Yeah, so it's no sign and trade. Yeah. If everyone wants to say that, you know, let's send him to Cleveland. Kevin Pritchard and the Indiana Pacers are going to send him to the team that provides them the best package of players and picks. That's simple. People can say, oh, send him to Cleveland. Just because LeBron wants him doesn't mean that he's going to get him unless Cleveland is able to, is going to have to trade away either him. Well, they're not going to trade away LeBron. They're going to have to either trade away Kyrie, and then you're going to have to be able to get picks from another team.
All fascinating stuff. All fascinating stuff. But it's time for a break. When we get back from break, the Redskins quarterbacks are beefing. Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy. Beef. What's beef, bruh? What's beef?
We'll talk allegedly.
Allegedly. It's reported. It's allegedly. But we'll talk about it after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Science.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
The Commission. Uncle Paulie. P. Diddy. Cesar Leo. De Janeiro. Charlie Baltimore. Iceberg Slim. The Most Shady. Frankie Baby. We here. We ain't going nowhere. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The VIG, I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing, we'll reach the floor of ceiling. Check it. My calico bin cop. This rap, Alfred Hitchcock, drop top notch. Player hating, don't stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit, Biggie name on. Make my name taste like herbs when you speak it. See me in the street, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret, see me. Be that is, I that is, gee whiz. Sick of for the feeling my big. I hope they know my new gutter for kidnap kids. I'm in they throw them over the bridge. That's how it is, my shit is laid out.
This is the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T. I mentioned before the break, you know.
Let me stop you.
Why?
You really planned that one out, huh?
You know
you
it,
had
bro.
That was another one you had in your back pocket.
Exactly. Like you playing spades. You got the little joke. You got the little joker. Ha ha, you that big joker. Bam, son. Yeah, that's what I just did right there. See what I did with that?
I see what you did.
I'm slapping cars. Bang,
you
bang.
You are very happy with yourself.
I am. I think I was pretty slick. I thought it was pretty slick. You know,
listen, I get the theme. I get where you're going. You see, I get where you're going. You said, what's beef before, you know. you with the outro, then with the song, and then to bring us back in. Okay.
Yeah, that was...
So now that we're properly set, let's talk about this foolishness.
All right, so on a local radio show, you know, a squad that I like, you don't like, you're not a fan of them. It's okay.
I'm going to say I don't like. I just have another preference.
Okay, it's cool. It's cool. So one of them, you know, one of the individuals stated that he believed, I mean, not he believed, someone told him, a source, that Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy aren't getting along. They don't get along. It's like it's real, and it's real. And he was adamant by saying it. Like, people may not believe, but it's real. Like, they don't get along. They don't invite each other to anything. They don't get along. They're not buddy-buddy right now.
Well, let me say this. How many quarterbacks play at a time?
One.
So it really doesn't make a difference to me if these guys – if I'm a fan of this – of the Washington football team, uh-huh. if these two guys have a – relationship at all. Now, ideally, you would want your starting quarterback and backup quarterback to have a relationship, just because, you know, if Kirk Cousins, when he comes over to the sideline during one of the numerous TV timeouts or any other timeouts, he can use Colt McCoy as an asset for another set of eyes, along with Jay Gruden, along with Matt Kavanaugh, just in case he doesn't see something that's developing on the field, Colt McCoy can point that out. Also, you would like that those two would be able to, this sounds like it's really college-y, but study together in preparation preparation for games. But they don't have to be the best of friends.
No,
they don't have to hang out with each other. It's a healthy competition. Colt McCoy feels that he can start for this team.
Yeah.
He feels that he can do a lot of the things that Kirk Cousins can do. But, you know, Kirk isn't relenting or giving up the spot. So I understand that his frustration, Colt's frustration, but Kirk Cousins is just not going to relent and not going to give up the spot at this point.
So I posed the question on Facebook that do you think this is true that Kirk Cousins, do you believe the reports or, you know, the rumor that Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy don't get along. My man Herb Coates said, Kurt not feeling him. I know Colt can ball, and he knows as well. Wayne also said, my man Wayne Thomas says, I do think it's true. Like y'all said, Colt is a threat, and how much Jay likes him. He knows that Jay likes him, and that's the thing. Jay does like Colt McCoy, and that can play a role in terms of how Kirk Cousins feels about Colt McCoy. That hey. You got this guy on your roster. Jay always talks about how he believes in Colt McCoy. And I've always stated this, too. I think people kind of like the whole the dismissive thing that Colt McCoy is nothing compared to Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins is proof. He's done the job. Like, he's the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins and deservingly so. But also, I want to put this out there. You got to play devil's advocate, right? That when these two had an equal opportunity to be quarterback, right, when it was that competition, when they both had that same opportunity – Colt McCoy outplayed all of them. That's including Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. All of them. And so the whole notion that Colt McCoy is so much – like Kirk Cousins is so much better than Colt McCoy, we really don't know. Like we really don't know.
I can say that when Colt McCoy had an opportunity to take this thing by the horns, i.e. versus Dallas on that Monday night, even though Washington won, he didn't look great.
But he made the play, though.
He made the big play, yes. Yeah. But consistently through that game, Colt McCoy did not look great.
He underthrew Deshaun Jackson a lot. Totally agree. No, I know what you're saying. Totally agree. But he made the big play. Like he didn't play great, but he made the big play.
Yes, he made the big play with his legs. Get the touchdown.
Which is a issue for this football team when it comes to the quarterback position. Is sometimes when it's go time, your quarterback isn't willing to make the has come up short on making the play, right? That's been the discussion. So I'm not, but again, this is not a knock on Kirk Cousins the way I'm saying it. What I'm saying is that when they all had an opportunity, it's the same thing like when you had your Kirk Cousins supporters, right? But Robert Griffin III has shown you XYZ, right? It's the same thing, right? But your Kirk Cousins supporters like, well, Kirk Cousins is better. He's better. Like, but at the same time, as if you were supporting Robert Griffin III, you would say 2012, right? Because that's proven. That's what he showed you. But Kirk Cousins didn't show you anything but flashes and then showing you horrible games in that process. But people believed that Kirk Cousins was the better quarterback for this team. Colt McCoy, within the small scope that we got to see, the small scope, when and a fair opportunity to compete for the starting job, He looked better than all of them. Now I'm just saying, at the current spot right now, I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins has played well the last two seasons. But my thing is, I don't like the dismissive mentality when we talk about Colt McCoy and Kirk Cousins. I don't like the dismissiveness of it. If that makes any sense.
It's long-winded, but that's fair.
It's very, very long-winded. You got to stop me, bro.
No, that's fair, and I'm glad that you were able to make yourself happy by getting Washington football on the schedule for today. And we've covered that. We've done that. So yeah. I think we'll go to commercial break. And when we come back from commercial break, we'll discuss boxing, specifically Andre Ward's defeat of Sergey Kovalev this past Saturday by 8th round TKO. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
But I just.
You dig.
Doses.
Come on, man.
See how I did that, Will T? This is the Urban Sports Scene. Myself,
you've been on fire today.
I'm on fire. DJ Wally on the ones and twos, bro.
First it was what's beef. Then it was. We came in with the
Mama said knock you.
Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy alleged beef. Then LL Cool J, Mama said knock you out. Then you come in with the fight from this past Saturday, boxing. So I see what you're doing.
You see what I'm doing, bro? I'm doing it, man.
You're on fire.
I'm on fire. On fire, like Lil Wayne. On fire, the Hot Boys. Anyway, Andre Ward, TKO, Sergey Kovalev, in the 8th round. Thoughts?
Thoughts. I know that there was a big, well, I'm not going to say big, but there was some controversy by some fans, and specifically Kathy Duva, the promoter of Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah, she was too over the top.
Who said that his punches, Andre Ward's punches, last three punches were below the belt, and those are the reason, you know, he should have been disqualified. Pump your brakes. Kathy Duva. All of those punches were right on the belt.
Yeah.
They were all legal punches. He just broke Kovalev to the body. I know a lot of people are frustrated that the fight was stopped in the 8th round. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, Sergey Kovalev was intertwined in the ropes, sitting on the ropes and not fighting back.
Yeah.
So at that moment, you know, it was very frustrating, but I can understand why Tony Weeks decided to step in and stop the fight at the point he did, because Sergey Kovalev wasn't fighting back and he was sitting, literally sitting on the ropes. And in Las Vegas, there's no standing eight count.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will T. I just thought that, like, when you hear Kovalev after the fight talking about they're all low, and then he even admitted that, like, when he was talking to his translator, it was like, oh, on the cuff. I was like, yeah, that's borderline. I was like, what are you talking about? That's borderline. All of them borderline shots. Like, Andre Ward saw blood. He went for the kill. I was impressed with Andre Ward because he finished him. He finished him off. It wasn't like he was a tactician. He was a tactician, but then he saw blood and he finished him. He showed that killer mentality, which I did like. I mean, he stayed away from Kovalev, and then when he felt like he can get inside, he got inside and he wore the body out. It's crazy when you see boxers nowadays where they just want to headhunt. But Andre Ward saw a weakness, and he consistently pounded the body. And then he saw it. He saw it, and he went for it. And then it was all keyed. And once he Once he kept tagging the body, he got that nice shot, you know what I'm saying, when he deked him and got it with his overhand, I want to say right.
Yeah, it was a straight right.
Straight right.
Straight right made Kovalev's legs like jelly. Yeah. Put him, you know, made him very wobbly. Mm-hmm. Then the thing that impressed me the most after Andre Ward landed that straight right was he didn't overcrowd Kovalev. He didn't try to take his head off with power shots. And he consistently worked on the inside. And even when Kovalev tried to tie up his hands, Andre Ward was able to slip his hands out from under Kovalev and still continue to go to the body. Just, you know, the last 45 seconds or 30 seconds of that fight, what Andre Ward did just goes to prove how he's a true tactician and is one of the better, to me, well, he is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the game right now.
That was my next question. So you think he's just the best boxer in the world right now?
Absolutely. I think he's the best pound-for-pound boxer who's active boxer.
Yeah, active boxer. That's good.
You just look at his record. You know, what he did at 168 in the Super 6. Then
People forget about that. What he did in Super 6. People forget.
Then he fought at the time Chad Dawson, who was a very viable opponent at that time. And then going up to 175 and beating Kovalev the first fight, and then handily beating him the second fight by winning by TKO. So sky's the limit for Andre Ward. Now they just need to continue to push him and put his face out there. And he could be one of the guys who helps keep the torch going of boxing.
On Facebook, asked the question, you know, is Andre Ward pound for pound the best boxer in the world right now? My man Jay Offer said not the best, but one of them. Crawford is the best right now. Lomachenko is on his way. It's funny, I put Lomachenko over Crawford if I was going to make a list, but to me, you look at the body count, like you said, body count, I mean, you look at Andre Ward, that's self-explanatory.
Yeah, Andre Ward's record, what he's done in the sport, speaks for itself. Lomachenko is still very early in his career, and he's fought he's had some big fights, and he's very skilled, but to me, Andre Ward is able to fight any type of style, can go. He's not afraid to fight anyone. And he's still pound for pound the best fighter with Lomachenko and Terrence Buddy Ward a close second and third.
Buddy Crawford, right?
Buddy Crawford.
Yeah. My man Johnny Cornelius agrees with us, says that, you know, he says Ward, and he said Ward's been the best. And also Emmanuel Sotelo has a look at it, like I said earlier, look at his resume. It's Andre Ward.
I totally agree.
I mean, I'm with you, Mike. I think people forget the Super 6. He was dominant in the Super 6. He is pound for pound the best boxer in the game. And he just cemented it with what he did to Kovalev. And I think anybody else who thinks that someone's better, you're ridiculous. Look at the body count, the resume. That's what we talk about. You know, as great, as skilled as a Bud Crawford, or as skilled as a Lomachenko is, the body count, it can't compare to what Andre Ward has done. And Will T said it right there. When he fought Dawson was one of the better middleweights in the business right there. And he beat the crap out of him. Light heavyweight. And he beat the brakes out of Dawson. Look at what he did in the Super 6 playing Carl Froch and whatnot. You know, so he's a dominant boxer. I think we all need to realize that, yeah, the best, the thing about Andre Ward is he needs to be promoted better. He needs to be put out there better. But in terms of his skill set, we're seeing one of the best of all time. I didn't want to talk about this fight. I'm going to make this real quick.
I mean, you have plenty of time to talk about it.
But I just want to just put it out there.
Time in the future, not now, to focus on. Yeah.
McGregor, Mayweather, August 26th. That's all I'm going to say. Is it a draw? That's all I'm going to say. Is it a draw? That's the question. Is it a draw?
Yeah, well, people are going to pay for it. People are going to pay
Pacquiao money?
I believe, yes, people are going to pay Pacquiao.
Oh, these people are so stupid. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it's a pop culture event. You know, you have Conor McGregor, who's known for talking. Floyd Mayweather, who's known for talking. To me, I think the best part of this fight is going to be the 24/7.
Me too. I think that's it.
That Showtime does.
Okay, so this is the thing. Before we leave the show, I think that this fight should just be on HBO. I really, because I just, well, no, I feel like.
Well, it's on Showtime. First of Fight.
I'm sorry, Showtime. Sorry. It should be on Showtime.
So,
I apologize.
No, they won't be able to generate enough revenue with it just being on Showtime. So I understand why you're doing it on pay-per-view. And what I can appreciate from both sides is they're not trying to pretend and say, okay, this is a boxing match. No, even though it's conducted in the boxing ring, it's primarily an exhibition, and we all know it's about the money.
Yeah,
it's about the money. They're not making no mistakes or no apologies, saying, you know, that we're doing this for the sport. No, it's about money. Floyd Mayweather is very careful to say every time he talks about the fight, this is the fight that the fans wanted.
Yeah.
You know what this is the fight that the fans wanted means? This is about the money.
It's about the money, definitely. But anyway, we're about to wrap this show up. Thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports, and we appreciate it. Andre Ward's the GOAT right now. The GOAT going on right now. The current GOAT. And Mayweather, McGregor, please don't buy the fight. Please don't.
Well, no, people are going to buy it. From what I understand, the undercard, he's putting together a solid undercard.
Well, then watch it for that. Then watch it for that. All right, man, you listen to Urban Sports, man.
For ages.
You dig? You say deuces.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, homie.
Rest in peace, Prodigy.
That's it. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.